It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. It's a truism that the holidays can be hard for people who have recently lost a loved one. But knowing that doesn't tell us how to help, whether we ourselves are grieving or someone we care about. So I was struck with the title of one of the books by bereavement counselor Beth Hewitt, More Good Words, Practical Activities for Mourning. The first word, more, makes sense because Hewitt titled an earlier book, Good Words, Memorializing Through a Eulogy. But it's the second part of the title that grabbed my attention, Practical Activities for Mourning. So I asked Beth Hewitt, who is an adjunct professor at University of Maryland University College, as well as a facilitator of grief workshops and support groups, to speak with us about it, and she's with me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Good morning.
You make a distinction between grief and mourning. What's the difference?
Grief is a passive emotion. It's something that we feel when we have lost someone or something that's very dear to us. Mourning is what we do about it. It's putting into action the feelings that we have with grief. And mourning is a healing process. Grief can sit with us for a long time and even make us sick if we don't do anything about it. Mourning is what we do with it.
So mourning doesn't flow out of grief unless you consciously make it?
I think it's not an automatic thing. And when a society encourages mourning from the very beginnings of a funeral, for example, to even wailing or crying or having a grief group or talking with other people or wearing clothes that indicate that I've lost somebody. In those cases where society encourages mourning, then we do so more naturally. We live in a mourning-avoidant society, so we often need to learn some ways to mourn.
But I think some people will hear about some of the practical activities that you say people might find helpful, like journaling, writing about the person you've lost, or making a t-shirt quilt to remember the person you've lost, and say that's prolonging your grief. It's prolonging the mourning because you're reminding yourself in a physical way. And I presume you don't think that, so tell us why not.
I don't think that. That's a really good question. I don't think that because I know that the loss is there anyway. And to ignore it is to stuff it down. To do something with it is to acknowledge this person's presence in my life. And so, in fact, for me and for many people, it is the doing of something that is the helpful part.
One of the things you write, you urge, quote, walk toward the pain. Explain that.
The Sufi poet Rumi said that the way through the pain is through the pain. The way to get through pain is to experience it, to embrace the fact that we have pain about someone that we love having died. We need to acknowledge that it hurts as opposed to running away from it or medicate it or in some way try to dampen it. And when I work with people, sometimes I say, if I told you to take off your shoes and walk on this hotbed of coals, you would tell me I was crazy. Mm-hmm. But embracing the pain of grief means walking on that hotbed of coals and saying to myself how much that hurts and acknowledging that that pain is real and that it's okay. It won't always be this bad. But if we run away from it, it will never get better.
Part of mourning, you write, is to figure out your own new identity now that this person you loved is no longer in the physical world. Why is your identity up for grabs in a time of mourning?
It's funny, but the people that we love are like a mirror through which we see ourselves. And when that mirror isn't there anymore, we need to figure out who we look like, what we are. And the loss of someone that we love, for example, I'll give you a personal example. When my older brother died 14 years ago, I had to take on new identities in the family. I was no longer the second child, I was the oldest child. And as the oldest child, I needed to take on some of the duties that he had been prepared to do, not me. That's one way that an identity changes.
And how this whole process of mourning, how do you do that in the holiday season when the world around you is celebrating?
That's a really good question. Very purposefully, you make decisions for yourself about how you want to acknowledge the holiday. Sometimes people who traditionally have loved Christmas, for example, decide not to put up a Christmas tree. And that has to be an okay decision for them to make. Sometimes they need to buy a different tree or put a special tree up with ornaments, particularly relative to the person who died. Sometimes mourning in that case involves making sure that certain songs are sung or that gifts are made that are relevant to the loss, that the family acknowledges that someone has died, that this person's name is used often, frequently, or even that a candle is lit for the special holiday meal, the candle representing the light of the person who has gone and is no longer there with us, but that the light is still in our hearts.
Thank you for all these ideas. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Beth Hewitt is certified in Compassionate Bereavement Care. We have information about her Good Words and More Good Words books at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been with us this morning. Thanks to everyone who's supporting WYPR during our pledge drive.